Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Killed it. Good job.
He's my man, Will Simmons.
Just looking like the pensive gentleman I always am.
Oh, the pensive gentleman stare over here. I'm Spencer Kitley. You are listening to After Reality. It is a huge week in reality TV. I'm more fired up than I've been in quite some time for the podcast. And that's because we have the full complement of shows, and I'm excited to talk about them. This pod... It's going to be all the Bachelorette. Bachelorette Becca is back following heartbreak. Will, what's good in your world?
Yeah, a lot to watch on top of other shows that are wrapping up. There's also the NBA championships happening, which I can't wait to watch after this podcast. But primarily, I want to talk about the Bachelorette. It was a good, strong episode.
I've already seen this season of the NBA finals, the last...
No. This one's different, though.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, it's because it's the all-star team versus one guy?
Yeah. You haven't seen this one before. Watch it.
Okay.
I'm looking pensive again, if you can't.
Yeah. Hey, pensive gentlemen, can you let everybody know where they can find you looking pensive on the internet?
You can pensively find us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook, and our Instagram account at After Reality Podcast.
Yeah, buddy. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. There's a lot of content, and I want to make sure we get all those good thoughts out there. Interesting beginning to this episode this season. Something really we've never seen before. Usually it's like, bright sunshiny rose petals falling from the sky, all unicorns and rainbows, but it's no background music and tears rolling off of Becca's nose. Poor girl hasn't been humiliated enough on television, Will.
Did you know she was broken up with on live TV last year, or live recorded TV? Did you catch that yet? Because we're gonna relive this a lot, like all season.
It did air on a live show.
Right. And we watched her deal with it, meeting him in person. So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's honestly, I get why they're doing it. It just adds a lot of tension and build up to like, Becca. But I'll be honest.
You have to do it. What if you didn't watch last season?
You have to do it. You absolutely have to do it. But we hear this over and over in this first episode. I'm just hoping it dies away pretty quickly as we move on, actually, and get to these.
I'd forgotten how awkward the whole breakup was until I saw a couple of those scenes and jogged my memory of Ari being such a douche and not leaving, which started like kind of bringing some new thoughts to me. It was, do you think the producers kept prodding him to go back inside, or he did that on his own?
I think it was probably on his own, because like, how do you make someone keep doing that over and over when it's obvious it's not working? I think it was like, more him second guessing.
You don't think they were like, dude, you can't leave now. You're going to look like a real dick if you leave now. But you should go back.
I mean, that's why he was there to start off with, to not look like a dick. He did. Anyway. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, we go to the scene from her home with her family. And I want to talk about one person that was there with her family. Her pastor uncle was not there. But this girl, I don't know if it was her sister or a friend. Had she been to Glamour Shots that day, Will?
That hair was absurd, man.
That was early fro-fro.
Yeah. I think everybody in the room was watching, looking just like, who is that person there? We didn't see her last season.
That was like, whose brother was it that was dressed all funky and had like gold chains and stuff?
Oh, the little troll guy. It was Vanessa's brother.
Oh, it was Vanessa's brother. That's right. Good memory, Will. You out-memoried me on the Bachelor trivia.
Insequential stuff I will be better at. You can remember actual details.
So, anyhow, Becca shows up at Bachelor Mansion in a red Ferrari.
Cue the Ari, like, fork in the back kind of thing. Like, nice car, huh? She can drive too.
I got a fast car too.
Yeah.
And she's greeted by Caitlin, JoJo, and Rachel. Three, we'll call them quasi-success stories since they're all still with their chosen mates from the show, but none of them are married. Then they do this whole saging of the house. Or Caitlin Bristow, the only line they let her say on the show was, "It looks like a big doobie."
Which, like, I don't know Caitlin that well. I saw part of her season, and I know she got that guy Sean, who looks really weird. But yeah, she didn't really have much of a partner. Plus, I like JoJo and Rachel enough, though. I'm like, cool.
He looks really weird. I think he's
fella. Because you think he looks like you? Is that what you're saying?
Everybody called him Ryan Schnozzling on his.
Yeah, show. No, I think he just has a very aggressive look.
He was a cool dude. He was one of my more favorite bachelors of the last few years.
I appreciate seeing Rachel again. She was
all of a sudden had more personality and was sassy.
I loved it. I'm like, this is the Rachel that I liked. This is awesome.
And JoJo got a lot in there. Apparently, I heard a rumor the other day that JoJo is making millions of dollars a year just doing Instagram stuff.
That's pretty impressive. She was a pretty popular bachelorette and on The Bachelor as well. So I don't know, man. There's plenty of people in the real world that make money off this stuff. And the challenge, like, this is what they do when they're not working on these shows. So millions? Okay, maybe.
Yeah. I think I made a point previously in the last couple of weeks. Like, Caitlin Bristow has kind of been in the Bachelor doghouse. They let her back, but they didn't let her say much, or at least they didn't air much of what she had to say. So
fine by me.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and lead us on into these intro videos of the Bachelors, this staple of the premiere.
Yeah. Before I get into it, I did note that we didn't see a lot of them. I feel like we see more sometimes than we did this season, which there's like maybe six or seven we see, and then that's about it.
I agree. It was a smaller number. And actually won for a guy that went home.
Right. That's what threw me off. I'm like, oh, wait, you picked somebody that wasn't going to be here that long to show his intro video? Because I'm sure they all have one. That's because at some point you see part of them, I'm sure, down the line. But either way, we start off with Clay.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you think these videos are shot in advance of the season or in arrears of the season?
Probably in advance.
Okay, so theoretically, they do shoot one for most everyone.
I'm gonna guess they probably do. That way, you have it in. That way, you can always refer back to it at some point. And they haven't been jaded by the show or tainted by anything. I think it just makes it seem more easier to do it before the season starts.
Okay.
My opinion. I don't know for a fact, but I guess that would help because that's how we did in Real World. We always do follows beforehand, and then we would become like part of the story later on. Sometimes.
There you go. Bringing that how the sausage made knowledge.
There you go. So back to Clay, 9-year NFL vet. The looks of this guy, I'm like, man, this guy. I do remember this guy now that I've seen him a few times, and I looked him up a little bit. I remember like, okay, I remember this guy a little bit, playing a little bit, but he also has the corniest you're in here. He seems like a really good dude, not corny, but he has a very interesting demeanor about him where the voice coming out of his mouth does not match the person that he is.
He's kind of mousy.
Like he's a big dude, but he's also very, seems like he's very gentle. He's like, hi, how's it going? You know, like just very plain Jane.
Not a real exciting personality.
No.
Maybe like a nerdy athlete, if that's a
thing. Yeah. Dude, I liked him a lot, but at the same time, I was like, this is not the guy I thought would be talking in this body. But
seems like a really good dude.
Yeah, good dude. Next one up, in comparison to Clay, is our boy Garrett. Garrett is actually super corny and thinks right he's
doing his Chris Farley impersonation that we did on the podcast last week.
It's Matt Foley's best Matt Foley that he ever had. Turns out also this week, he's a little hot water for some interneting on the social medias that he's done.
It happened to a lot of people these days. that they've done maybe in their younger, less wise years. And speaking of less wise, Jordan, Jordan's Robbie 2.0. If you listen to the podcast at all, you know I'm a Robbie fan. Will's not. Explaining his whole pensive gentleman stuff that we've already alluded to earlier in the show. And modeling is so much more to him than being ridiculously good looking.
Yeah.
Wonder where he got that line from, Will.
Yeah. No, this guy seems like a total chode all around.
Maybe he went to the Derek Zoolander school for kids who can't read good.
And stuff. Yeah. We're going to find him trying to get inside a computer by just smashing it.
Plenty more to talk about Jordan. We'll leave him there and move on. Lincoln.
He's the guy
that we met on the AFR with the Nigerian accent. And really, his video amounts to him working out, Will.
Yeah, the guy's got massive arms. I think everybody I was watching was like, whoa, this guy is ripped.
There's a lot of dudes that have very little body fat on them on this show. And I don't know how much we're going to talk about Lincoln later on, so I'm going to go ahead and put this here right now.
Drop it.
Lots of rumors out there in the world that Lincoln does not like to defecate in a toilet. He prefers to make a pile of toilet paper on the ground next to the toilet in the stall, I guess, presumably at work, where maybe someone's witnessed this through, like, underneath.
Or at the gym.
He makes his deposit and then presumably scoops up the toilet paper and puts it back in the toilet because he thinks toilets are unsanitary. You ever heard of anybody, like, catching something off of the public toilet?
I mean, they say, I've heard you can, but I've never heard of any actually having that happen. And I have plenty of friends that have used a lot of public toilets in bad places.
Yeah, I've used the public toilet to do that number in Club La Vila in Panama City Beach, and I came out unscathed. And then in my book, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than that.
Yeah, this guy seems like we're all around chode, though. We get some highlights of him later on. It's not exactly the... He's a different kind of chode than Jordan. This is guy's like a dick chode, while Jordan's just a chode.
All right.
Different levels of chode.
Take us through the last few of these, Will.
So Joe, the Italian guy from Chicago, runs a grocery store. He's a former produce guy. He knows his grocery stores. I like this guy.
Anytime someone has to play a role in a movie with a Chicago cop, they sound like Joe.
Yeah, or if they are a local grocer, sounds like Joe.
Absolutely.
He fits every stereotype, but he also had really, good intro whenever he actually talked to her.
You like this guy.
I did. I drafted him. Well, I picked him to be drafted.
We'll talk more about him in a little while. There was only a couple guys with, like, funky titles this season, and one of them was John Block.
The Colonisseur.
The Colonisseur.
Colonisseur. He's actually smart, MBA from Duke, and a successful entrepreneur. But this guy looks like he's going to be pretty over the top as far as his smell goes, since that's his most important part of his life, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like they're selling him a little short. Like, smart guy, entrepreneur, he's got an MBA from Duke. Yeah, you're the Colonisseur. Thanks for my title, ABC.
His name is also Jean Blanc. It sounds like a cologne.
he's Haitian.
That's fine. He just sounds like he's a cologne, name of a cologne.
Well, props to him for coming to the U.S. from Haiti and not just going to John.
You've seen Parks and Rec, right?
Let's pretend like I have.
Oh, my God. There's John Raffio. And he has his own line of cologne with him and Tom Haverford, a.k.a. Aziz Ansari. So anyway, moving on, we have Colton.
And you and I were both very high on Colton coming this season. Both had him in our top two in our Fantasy for a Reality draft.
I ended up with him. Thank you.
Number one.
Number one. Played in the NFL. Seems like an all-around great guy, has a foundation to help out kids, has a great dog. Like, he is basically, like, all-around, grade A American like stud. Like, who, what girl wouldn't want this guy? We'll see what happens with Colton later down the road, though.
Yeah, a lot more to talk about Colton as we go through this week. Leader in the clubhouse following the videos, in my opinion. And that rolls us right in to the limo entrances. So let's go through some of these, and then I'd like for us to maybe hand out our annual superlatives on favorite and least favorite, we'll call them, instead of best and worst.
Right.
Colton, that leader in the clubhouse, he's also the leader out of the limos. First one out of the limo, which usually carries some gravitas on this show. Usually that person is around for a significant amount of time.
Yep.
Just works out that way. He shows up with these pop cannons to shoot confetti. Wants to start things with a bang. And the only thing that could have been better here is if he said, and end them too. But not too corny. And I kind of like the confetti cannons.
That's cool. Nice touch.
That resonated, but wasn't silly.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, like, actually, I was like, that's a good way to do it. Start off with a bang. And had a nice little corny line in there, but it was still fun. So, yeah, good start.
He walks off, and she says, oh, he's handsome.
Yeah.
Answer me this, Will. What is on the driveway there where they come in?
Water.
What happens to tissue paper when it hits water? Somebody had a mess to clean up after the first guy got out of the limo.
First thing it says, like, some PA is pissed right now. I got to clean this crap up. It's the first one.
And I'm not just cleaning up. I'm cleaning it up wet.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it'd probably be easier than, like, loose ones that would just fly everywhere. At least would stick to the ground. You can just, like, plow it up a little faster. But still, it's probably everywhere at this point.
Come out there with a huge shop vac and maybe fuck it up instead of sweep it up.
We need to stop down for a cleanup here.
Anyhow, Grant, he popped out of the limo, diddled out of the limo next. Nothing really there on Grant, and I think Grant actually saw an early exit, so no need to waste words there.
On my team.
Clay, who we had already met.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Grant's on your team. I'm sorry. You lost Grant. You're the only person you lost this week. How about that? Sorry, you.
Yeah. So Clay pitching that she would be the biggest catch of his life. And I know I play football. He kind of leads with that. I don't like that the guys lead with that. I'd like that to like come up casually, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It kind of fits who he is. He seems like cheesy. Cool, man.
John Block comes out speaking French. Connor gets down on one knee and talks.
Oh, wait. You glossed over the fact that she said Jean Blanc smelled great.
Oh, yes. You think she was teed up on
Colonosaur.
That?
Colonosaur, dude. He has to have a good smell. Maybe, but I think that seemed pretty legit. I think she seemed pretty legit. She kind of just turned around and was like, oh, he smelled really good. Seemed kind of natural.
Do you think he's one of those cologne guys that, like, that he wears too much of it because he's so into it, or is he more measured and kind of gets it?
I think it's super measured and like spot on based on like where he's eating dinner, if he's going to go out after he eats dinner, if like he's going to play basketball, then maybe go to a bar after. Like, I'm sure it's all timed to whatever his life is like.
Okay.
Probably has some in his car at all times, like probably 3 or 4 samples, if not like bottles.
So Joe, the grocer, got out. He pretty much said nothing to her.
Oh. So he's rough. Mad at
himself as he walks into the house. This could be why Joe went home.
I don't think so, because they actually had a conversation later on where he seemed like they were, you know, he was spilling, you know, some good stuff there. They generally seem interested in each other. It's so bizarre.
John
head scratcher
gets out of the limo. I'm not interested. Wow. He seems like a snooze. More on him in a bit. Leo, I'm thinking my money's on that you like Leo.
Honestly, that guy has a serious personality. I was cracking up some of the stuff you say in the house later. So I kind of was like, oh, cool. Spencer and I have a friend of ours that looks sort of like Leo in a way, and I made fun of him as I'm watching. I'm like, hey, Glenn, you look like Leo. And he was like, whatever, because it's long hair. I'm like, yep. But Leo actually turned out to be pretty funny, so I kind of became a Leo fan pretty quickly.
What was his quote about the stench? And it's going to get real stinky soon?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what
it was. I don't remember it either, but I remember, yeah, he definitely made that
stench of desperation.
Yeah, exactly. It's about to get stinky in here.
All right, I'm going to turn this over to you here in just a second, but not before I talk about Jordan.
Oh,
and his well-tailored light gray suit. He pretty much also says nothing. And she says he has some fun shoes. Apparently has like taps on his shoes.
Yeah.
And in my aside here on Jordan, he made a post on Instagram following the show where most of America disliked him, propping the store that dressed him for the show. That store in Winter Park, Florida, suburban Orlando.
You're familiar.
A nice men's store called John Craig. And just so happens, I've actually sat next to John Craig at a wedding for some friends. And John Craig, in kind of the same way Jordan speaks to the camera, I was like, oh, well, I dressed the groom.
Oh, my God.
And if memory serves, John Craig was wearing a suit right about the same color as Jordan's was. So that's my interesting Central Florida tidbit for tonight's episode. I bring those quite often.
Yeah. Anything else from New Smyrna Beach to report on while you're at it?
nothing New Smyrna. I did see the Tuckle Monster out at a Disappearing Island this weekend, but that's all I have from the Central Florida region.
Oh, my God. take us through the last video. Yeah, so you leave me with all of these bunch of dildos here. So after Jordan, we get Ricky. He gets cut. He's out. We're done with Ricky. Alex, we don't even really meet him, but he has a glass jar full of roses. Full of roses. Why'd you put Ricky in there?
He's still on the show. That was my comment when he got out of the limo. He gets cut. He's cut.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the picture now. Yep, I remember him now. Yep. Oops. Sorry, Rick. Looking around for another week at least. Alex shows up. Don't really meet him, but he does have a glass jar for all of his roses. So I like that move where he's like, hey, I'm going to just be collecting these things all season.
He couldn't have packed that in his bag?
Yeah, I don't think so. I also was pretty high on this guy in my draft, so I was like, all right, that's kind of a clever way to get out.
They didn't really give him an intro at all. It was very showed him, and then the next later on, you saw him in the house with a glass jar.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. Then we get to Nick, attorney from Orlando. He's wearing a race car jumpsuit, and he basically calls Ari a douchebag as he's pulling it off. So thought it was clever.
That was the start of our Ari run here.
Yeah, well, we also see a lot of Ari stuff just in people just kind of generally bringing up Ari and like, oh, we're going to do better kind of thing. So next one up is Mike. Mike one-ups Nick with the jumpsuit. Mike pulls out a cardboard cutout of Ari. I felt like this was super awkward altogether.
Yeah. Oh, that's the guy that just like took a crap on my heart a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Appreciate you bringing that reminder out here so I can look at it.
I mean, it is funny. I mean, you have to make fun of this, right? You have to be light about this. But a good story about Mike. Mike works for Pro Football Focus. Mike is a friend of guy we know, Oscar. Oscar's podcast runs into Mike a lot. And so Mike is actually a buddy of sorts to them. And so all eyes were on Mike from here on out because I want to see how this guy plays out because he definitely didn't come up as smooth as he probably hoped. He would.
My perception is Mike looks close enough to Jordan looks wise. There's only room for one of these guys on the show, and I'm thinking Mike's the one that goes home pretty quick.
Quite possibly. Rumor has it is that he was home pretty quick after this. Not after this episode, not necessarily after the first episode, but like he wasn't around. He wasn't gone for too long in general, so.
Let's put it this way. If you do some Instagram or Twitter stalking on him, he was reporting on the NFL draft. if that gives you a good timeline of how quickly.
I mean, that's end of April, so it's potentially the show is.
That's a month of filming at that point in time.
Well, the show. Well, I mean, like it's actually like 3.5 weeks if you think about it. I mean, like that was when the show aired and when the draft was. It's not that long of a time to say because they have to stop down and they have to do the finale later on anyway. So.
Right. I mean, there's probably still there. Wouldn't you think they're still producing episodes as we speak for later in the season?
They're probably editing at this point. I mean, there might be some pickups and stuff, but like people have to go back to their jobs, right? I mean,
I get
what you're saying.
The timeline wise, you might be premiering before the season's actually finished. Like, no, it's finished filming, but the post probably isn't finished. Is that maybe?
Oh, yeah, post. Well, yeah, no, it's totally fair, but that doesn't mean you need to be around for anything. You can just be back at your job and live.
Oh, I didn't mean the cast. I meant the crew.
Oh, yeah. No, crew-wise, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, moving on, Garrett shows up minivan. Love it?
I like it. Yeah. I think this is a nice move. It's a departure from a lot of the other vehicle or animal-type entrances we've seen in the past, and she seemed to like it.
Nice. Blake, we met him at the after the finale rose ceremony thing. After the final rose, whatever acronym that's for. He's the guy on the horse. He shows up on ox this time. And I was waiting for I was waiting for something punny about the ox itself, and it sure enough it came out. I forgot what he said, but he said something alluding to the ox.
I'm hoping my love for you or our attraction ends up being strong as an ox.
Yeah, something like that. I thought he was gonna be like, oh, you gotta, you know, get back right on that bull or something like that, whatever it was. But he had an interesting look, and you noted in this too.
He used that line at AFR. It was back on the horse.
Right. He's full of those, I'm sure. He was rocking a pink sports coat, which I actually liked a lot. I was like, that's a sweet jacket.
I like the look as well. It's not your everyday look, especially paired with a black button-up, but it was working out for him on night one.
I also felt it was more reddish than pink, but I liked it. I thought it was a cool look. Then we get it to Lincoln. What's that?
Is it a magenta?
A magenta, yes. Magenta who? Hugh. The Lincoln, who we also have met, we talked about, chose up a chocolate cake.
Are you sure it was chocolate cake?
Oh, let's be honest, man. That's a whole new twist to this. Honestly, at that point, I'm sure she was like, I'd love to eat something. I'm probably starving. So good move on his part, but it was also kind of awkward.
Yeah. So Chase comes through, nothing. Kristen, hey, I'm a Globetrotter, says hi. Willis, hi, I'm a nerd.
Adios. Wills.
Yeah,
what the hell is that?
Hey, what you talking about? Jason, he shows up to teach a personal handshake for the two of them. Camille, he's the social media participant. He's the only other guy that had a interesting title this year. Will, are you a social media participant?
Aren't we all? He also said he was going to meet her in the middle, but then says 60-40. What the hell?
Yeah. This was grounds for just like, see you right here. Why don't you just get back in the limo and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out?
Yep.
Jake, sockless Jake, he shouts Jake, or she shouts Jake from Minneapolis, and then to the camera calls him an acquaintance. The next one, a hearse shows up, bringing a dead contestant. What'd you think of the hearse move?
That's pretty aggressive. Same time, we did have a guy in a minivan, so yeah.
He did jump out with a lot of energy out of the back, I'd say, and kind of played into something that's, I don't know, not punny, but becoming prevalent in society to say literally about something when it didn't literally happen. But he died when he heard she was the Bachelorette. Also, I don't remember the timeline, but it wasn't that long ago that her dad passed away.
Yeah.
Because
not super. Uncle, I mean,
Uncle Gary's like the guy.
Yeah. Also, note about Trent, according to the info, he has appeared on the cover of romance novels, plural.
Well, he must be a model as well.
He's a real estate agent from Florida somewhere. Cool. Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah, Christian, we don't need him. And then a chicken. Baka! 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 Which is what we called the other Becca last season.
Yeah.
And it's David in a chicken suit. He's an entrepreneur whose family are grocery store magnates in the Northeast. And he is full of puns. He's not here to ruffle feathers. Hopefully we can have an excellent relationship. I'll see you in the hen house. He's thought this through. And I actually like this guy despite the corny gimmick.
Yeah. Actually, when they kind of hang out with his chicken face on, it actually was like, wow, this guy might actually make some roads here.
And then the final guy in was Chris, who was Chris with the weird cut hairline. he has a church choir trying to win over Uncle Gary's heart. And then he just pieces out, abandons his choir, and doesn't even say thank you.
He also scored the most points this episode in Fairness Forality.
Yeah.
We'll get more to that later.
I think we'll get more into that. Why don't you take us into the match? And this is where the magic happens, Will.
Yeah, this is where it all really happens. We start off with Jordan critiquing everyone's fashion as in her house. He is basically our established narrator, which we always have one. Somebody always stands out. Like we have Cameron on Southern Charm in Charleston. We have like Pauly D in like Jersey Shore or Vinny. We always have somebody that stands as a narrator. Jordan is our narrator.
Big brother, there's always someone that kind of ends up your narrator. I can't remember her name on Floribama, the small little girl, the African-American girl. I can't remember her name, but she's definitely the
Floribama. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes it's like a voice of reason. Other times it's the most absurd person there. So it kind of differs. He might be one of the most absurd persons there, but his critiques and his like narration is very interesting and at least funny enough to like, yeah, let's see what else he has to say.
Funny and a little witty. He's not completely stupid unless they're just teeing these things up for him, which I don't think they are. I think he's entertaining TV. He's not Crystal.
He's not. Yeah, he actually is very entertaining. Like I said, he's a chode, but he's not like Lincoln where you want to like, oh, this guy needs to leave. He just probably going to annoy everybody. So once Becca walks in the house, Connor steps to the plate immediately, and this is what most guys hate, and even girls when they do this. It's like, oh, you stole away right off the bat. Connor steps up to the plate quickly.
He didn't do it, I don't feel like, in a as negative or a malicious manner as we've seen in the past.
But no
one even commented.
No.
Like, okay, cool. It's time to play ball.
But it always catches everyone off guard, though. Who's going to do it? Because it's always like, oh, okay. So yeah,
he was a trendy pick, and I'm in three Fantasy for Reality leagues. Two of them I'm in with you. He was a trendy pick in those, and
savors
a bottle of champagne right off the bat, which was really cool. They took a step further and then drank from the sharded bottle of champagne.
That's like a bloody mouth.
Cool move, bro.
Our boy Clay steps up next. She remembers him. His name, his profession. They do a little clay molding together. How witty is that?
That's how you get some. That's how you get her to remember your name.
Absolutely. But you make a note in here, but it's so true. He absolutely does not seem like a typical NFL player. Not that all NFL players fit a certain mold or like personality, but he just seems really gentle and just very like very calm. Well, most NFL players are usually, you know, pretty hyped up and like they stand out above crowd. He seems like he's right in the middle, kind of mellow guy.
Do we know where he went to college? I'll look it up. You keep it rolling.
Yeah. I think I looked it up at some point. So Chris from Orlando shines with the story of his grandparents marrying for 2 months. We've seen this before. This comes up quite a bit. It's always like, you know, actually this one guy last season Rachel season. He had the whole story about how his parents like met. They were from the World War II and Japan and all this other stuff and all this other things happening. And then like basically he goes home the first night because meeting your loved one the first night does not always work out for everybody. But Chris tells the story of his grandparents marrying him 2 months and he believes in this. Very positive guy.
Yeah, she seems to really like it. Clay Harbor actually played at a couple places. He played at Missouri State, and then he transferred and played at Larry Bird School, Indiana State.
Oh, wow.
Kristan dunks on Becca's head. Soft move or boss move?
Loved it. That's pretty cool.
In my book. Like, hey, you're trying to impress your friends, trying to impress your coworkers. You're trying to impress really anybody. Maybe other than just the girl you're trying to date would think that was really cool. I don't know if that's exactly the way to her heart, but I did like the way that it brought about a casual moment where everybody kind of got in and started and had a little shoot around.
Basketball, yeah.
If that,
I thought it was cool.
So sweaty in my suit that I would have just been nasty the rest of the night. But that's
besides. Also wet driveway. Come on, dude, in dress shoes. Bad news all around.
Leather sole dress shoes. You'd be SOL.
And Jordan is tap shoes. You know, come on. So then we get back to Joe.
Wait.
Joe talks
about Jordan's suit was so tight, he would have split his suit.
Oh, absolutely. Skin tight. But Joe, the grocery store guy, talks about Southside Chicago, sells watermelon. You say in here snooze, but like I thought there was a real connection there. Like I thought she was kind of feeling him out. He seemed like a really nice guy. I mean, Twitter blew up that this guy did not last. So I think the same way.
She's a really nice girl. So like her seeming interested might come off as that when it might just be like I'm just being polite.
Same time, like there's some other dudes on here, you're just like, really, you're gonna talk to that guy one more day but this guy doesn't, like, it, whatever.
Yeah, I want to talk about Blake. This dude has just, we talked about his what he's wearing. This dude just has cool confidence. He seems really in, she seems really into talking to him. She looks to be kind of the most open with him. And she admits that, hey, we're on the same wavelength. And immediately after, here's Chris Harrison with the first impression rose. And I'm thinking, like, this is a done deal. But we have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Because we got to talk chicken guy.
Yeah.
He has her doing the chicken dance.
Yeah.
I hate the chicken dance.
Yeah, it's not good. Not a good look.
Can't imagine that being your go-to move. Really... You wore a chicken suit, great. Don't care. It's not that big a deal. You didn't do something stupid.
Right.
But
I just, the people that wear costumes, I'm like, I get it, you're committed to the costume. At the same time, like, you should uncommit to that costume after you get out of the limo.
I did it off. That he took the head off, had a conversation with her. I kinda liked him. He seemed normal.
Yep.
Head on straight. No pun intended. Yeah, and then we kind of keep it rolling. Garrett has her out fly fishing in the swimming pool. He even brought her a fishing lure. And Garrett does remind her of home, and she says, my family would love him. So, I mean, like, these three guys right here in a row, I'm feeling pretty good about these three dudes in this little stretch. And that leads us to the drama, Will.
Yeah, so the guy Chris R, your guy with your favorite haircut, he basically tells a few people that are Chase, well, whatever, Chase is Chase, don't really know much about him at this point, saying he isn't there for the right reasons. That great, loving, endearing line you hear so much
because
throughout this show.
Chase was on the After the Final Rose. He was one of those four or five guys, which kind of proves to be a disadvantage. If you remember, DeMario was one of those guys as well last season.
Yep. And he got exposed for having a girlfriend of some sort.
That opens the door for outside influence.
Yep. Basically, Chris knows his ex-girlfriend. And during the after the AFR, he gets a text as soon as Chase comes on stage and is like, oh my God, he's definitely not there for the right reasons. And basically, he turns... he tells Chase about it, and Chase brings him into the conversation he's having during his one-on-one with Becca. So they both get to explain it in front of her, which we all know this works out so well when you call somebody out and then you have to defend them in front of her, and you have to defend themselves in front of everybody else. So interesting tactic on the first night.
We've never seen this on the first night.
Not the first night.
Usually like a few weeks in, like, so Crystal's not here for the right reasons. Okay, Tia, you're not going to win now. Or whoever it is. But I kind of believe him that if he says he only dated this girl for a couple of weeks and it was more casual thing. Sure. Like, what if he just didn't really like that girl and she really liked him and she's like, oh, well, he's a player. He's not going to be there for the right reasons. That's a very realistic scenario. Of course, he may be a total dick and be on the other side of the coin, but just
His look definitely told me that he was going to be a problem. He also played college baseball.
Look, judging books by their cover, Will.
Well, I mean, you watch enough of these shows, and you're like, I kind of think I know who you are.
he was the guy that my comment was when they put his Chiron up on the screen. Advertising VP from Sanford, Florida. Yep. I told you I only had one Central Florida nugget. Sanford, Florida is not a real big place, not a real nice place. This is where the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing happened. I'm thinking, like, it ain't real hard to make yourself the VP of advertising is somewhere in Sanford, Florida.
All right.
Not a lot of business there.
Well, it's even said that he's there to make his marketing business around, like to improve it. So, yeah.
Did play in the College World Series twice for South Carolina. As you know, I go to the College World Series every year. Don't recall him being a prominent player, so probably more of a reserve, but still a nice resume. Hey,
we didn't do it.
Absolutely. Let's move on.
Yeah. Jake.
Jake from State Farm?
Yeah, Jake from State Farm. So Becca knew who this guy was, and we kind of get that feeling like, oh, I actually chose him in one of my drafts because I was like, oh, he's from Minneapolis. This is going to work out great, even if they don't know. I didn't think they knew each other, but I was like, oh, hometown guy. We have a lot to talk about, probably have a lot of connections. Turns out they actually have met each other several times. They have the same circle of friends. He also, as you've said so many times, he looks like Jason Lee, which I do see that.
He's Brody Bruce.
More of a cleaned up version in guy that's in shape than Brody Bruce, but yes, very, very, very good comment there. But she doesn't really care for this guy because I guess he didn't really care for her whenever they met him, even though he says they met each other a few times, but he doesn't really remember them because, you know.
So she says, yeah, we met several times. And he's like, oh, I only remember you meeting like once at the Christmas party.
I only remember. He emphasizes that.
I feel like one of my pet peeves is when someone introduces themselves to you like five different times that you meet them. I've met you five times. Do you not remember me? That you have to introduce yourself to me over and over and over again?
That's right. I don't remember you, dude. I don't remember you, dude.
but I have a theory here. I'll lay this on you and get your thoughts. He might know something about Becca from her past, from her friend group, that she might not want to get to the rest of these guys on the show. This might be a self-preservation move to keeping this guy away as much as it might also just be like, hey, I'm not interested in you. I would have pursued you before.
Like possibly her ex-boyfriend. Possibly her ex-boyfriend or just some history around those things. That's actually not a bad theory, but we'll never know now. He was sent home immediately.
He may have the bat phone to Stanford Stadium. I don't know.
And we'll never know.
Just saying.
Last couple we got here is Wills, which is just so disturbing as a fellow Will. I don't understand how you get Wills. But he has Harry Potter tattoos and wants to guard and protect your heart.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
That's a little before your bachelorette time, but those long-term bachelorette fans, you go back to Alla Fetitowski season, and there's a very famous quote from Casey Call on that season. He went and got a tattoo on his wrist for Alla Fetitowski of this big heart. Because he wanted to guard and protect her heart. And he kind of talked like that. And ironic that phrase pops up again here.
Cool.
And then the last guy, kind of before we get moving to other parts of the night, was Colton. Finally got some time. Talks to her about cystic fibrosis and his and this foundation. He gets cut short, and I feel a little shortchanged because this is my guy. I'm putting all my chips in on Colton. And I wanted to learn more. I feel like this guy is a solid dude. Seems like really excited to talk about this foundation, which kind of indicates to me that like he's pretty passionate about it. Because it's either his niece or his cousin that's affected by CF.
Great story.
Colton ends up not being the first impression Rose guy, though. That goes to fly fishing guy Garrett, and he's a catch
for now. He also hasn't shown his real personality, which not really about his tweets or anything. But she is a pretty strong liberal Democrat from things I've read. He is not, but I think it's more his actual personality might be a little too much when we get down the line because it seemed like he's a jokester and a prankster, and we'll see how that really plays out when you get deeper into these things. But he came off pretty well the first half.
Yeah, I like his joking manner, his minivan. She made him feel very comfortable. She cops to being smitten with him when he got out of the van. He gets the first kiss of the season. And I think I had this teed up at the top of the show and we didn't really talk about it. I'm really liking Becca. Like, I feel like Becca was watered down last season by Ari's lack of personality. And we didn't really get to see maybe the more fun side of Becca. So it might not be too far-fetched for this jokester type guy to mesh well with her. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Becca so far this season?
No, I liked her a lot last season. I mean, I was a front runner for a long time in last season. So I was down. I thought we just had some Becca fatigue. We just saw so much of her. So I was like, how's this going to go? But she reminded us pretty quickly. She's got a great personality. She's a very positive person. She comes off very well. She's very classy looking. I mean, like she seems like a real humdinger out there. So,
I think it'd be easy to describe. She's just like a real girl.
Yeah.
On the show.
There's nothing like really like fake about her at this point. So no, yeah, totally digger.
Gotcha. It's I stole your thunder there. The first impression segment was supposed to be yours, but we'll switch. Let's go to the roses. First row. I always like to go through this, and I kept track of more than I usually do. I usually only keep track of the first four roses given out. Lincoln got the first one. Blake, who I thought would get the first impression rose. I don't know. Who did you think was going to get the first impression rose?
Blake was definitely up there. I agreed. Like, he just kind of came off and met each other twice, and she seems really into him. Honestly, I'm not surprised it was Garrett. Like, Garrett also stood out. So, but I thought Colton was like, oh, Colton's going to land this. He's going to find a way to land this. And did not. But
yeah, I think those three guys are doing pretty well. But then after Blake, it's Ricky, Jean Blanc, Criston, Clay, Wills. Six out of the first seven guys. It's something we've never seen on this show. Usually, like, this show's had a problem with, it's been attacked a lot in the media for not having a lot of diversity. And typically the African-American guys or the other guys of other ethnic backgrounds go home early.
Yeah.
Now the first seven guys that get a rose, and I paid attention to the background. It wasn't produced. Like, you could see those guys with their roses back in the background. That's the order they got handed out in. So, like, read into it what you will, but I think Becca maybe, as Jax Taylor would say, flipping the script a little bit here. Anyhow.
Interesting note.
We had lots of guys stay. Connor, Jason, John, the software developer, who I was not high on, but apparently was like employee number five at Venmo.
Yeah. And
start Venmo. So I'm thinking that guy's got a lot of Skrilla in the bank.
Yeah.
Alex, Nick, Ryan, Trent, Colton took long enough. Chicken David, Jordan the model, Leo the stuntman, and Mike the man bun. And then the final rose goes to Chris R, the text message rat. I've already given these guys monikers to go with their names. And we said goodbye to a few guys. And one of those we know was Joe. The others were Christian, who I don't think we really remember.
No.
Camille, who was the social media participant. Chase, who was the guy who got ratted out in the text message. Darius and Grant. I don't know, other than maybe Joe, not really any surprises here.
No, but I saw a funny tweet out there that they said the social media participant lost to a guy in a chicken suit.
but he can set up a room and hold VC meetings with all these guys trying to start fitness apps.
That's true. One thing you didn't make a note of this too, and I always think about it, I'm like, it always blows my mind that they end this when it's daylight.
This is the most daylight I've ever seen. Usually it's like dawn. This was like nine in the morning.
as someone that worked in this business, and anytime I worked a whole season of overnight shifts on Bad Girls Club, was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I worked the 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. shift. So I saw daylight every morning, and God, it never got fun. It was never fun to see that. So, and I've done plenty of finale shows where we did a whole everything. We start shooting at like 6 p.m. or done at like 7 a.m. It is not fun. So I feel bad for everyone that has to work that overnight, but it is probably the most interesting episode right off the bat to get into. So
this was a good premiere.
They're
not always good. There's a little funkiness, a little drama, but not too much over the top. I felt like it played it right down the middle.
Yeah.
And this is one of the more enjoyable premieres for me in recent memory. How about you?
Yeah, no, it's a variety of a little bit of everything for once. It was heavy handed with a bunch of people trying to impress her. It was a lot of just normal conversations with a variety of different guys. Jordan narrated very well, trying to keep us involved and keep making some funny little quips here and there. The guys were interesting. She played it off well, and we had a little drama, even though it was like we're fine with those guys just going home right now. But, yeah, that was a pretty good set. I was involved, very intrigued most of the episode. Good start.
Some stuff that looks pretty interesting also coming up on this season on.
Yeah. That me? You looking at me?
That would be your segment of the rundown.
You're teaming me up and then leave me hanging. Yeah, it looks like we end up in Asia, Thailand, Singapore area, end up in Vegas, some ocean frolicking, seaplanes, snowmobiles. A rousing game of football.
Burgundy over there reading the notes.
Yeah, very, very, very literal here. There's also some tears. There's some drama.
Mm-hmm.
We see some people getting hurt. We see some ambulances show up. We've seen this before. We have seen all these things.
Staple now. Like,
right.
You can't plan that.
No.
But that actually, the person that I don't know who it was that was on that stretcher looked legitimately like discolored.
Hurt. Yeah, it looked bad. Then again, somebody could have fallen out of bed sleeping. You know, the way this show works, it could be absolutely nothing paramount to this show.
Oh, I fully expected to be someone fell or got hurt doing some activity. It wasn't a fight.
Yeah. More drama. The Lincoln and Chris definitely look like they have a drama around them. Jordan yelling at someone and saying something that they're worse than Ari. We also find out Colton is still carrying that V card around, which is an interesting thing they would bring out in a preview rather than just not let that be something that happens throughout the show. I felt like these highlights were a little too direct, like highlights of the show rather than just being like a quick synopsis of what might be happening.
I feel like they showed us the whole season here, but question.
I agree, absolutely.
There's a lot of people out there that are saying there's no way that this Colton's lying. Are we at a day and age where like someone would, where a dude willingly goes to this as an excuse or as a made up storyline? I don't think so. I think I'm pretty sure that's not the case, but he's getting a lot of people saying he's a liar. even in the scenes from it, it appears as though the guys are calling him the liar.
Jordan with the line asking if he hired Spielberg to write a script.
Yeah, so
it's too perfect.
I mean, what do you lean?
My point to that, or my thought on this, is that if he's doing it for the show, then that sucks, right? But also, what do you stand to gain by doing this? Because you're going to impress her with the fact you've never had sex with a woman, and the first one you might have sex with is her. That's a lot of pressure on someone to be that person
at this age. This could be quickly debunked by any one person out there.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't even have to be someone telling the truth.
No.
Allie Raisman, Olympic gymnast, could stand up and say, because he dated her recently. She could stand up and say, be like, this happened. And he'd be like, no, it didn't.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that preview was pretty deep. So, like I said, it gave away a lot.
So, anything else before we go to Fantasy for Reality?
We didn't do our superlatives.
You're right. I'm a failure.
I'll let you lead off.
I'll go first.
What are you going with, top or bottom?
I'm gonna go favorites first.
Okay. Favorites, multiple. Okay, let's do that.
I was a fan of the Ox.
Okay. Blake, is that what you're talking about?
Minivan. But I think I'm going simple. I like the bang stick. First out of the limo. Colton's my dude.
Yeah, I was pretty smooth.
It was nice and simple. It was memorable. They had a little conversation. There's a lot of dudes that just didn't say anything this time. How about you? What's your favorite?
I agree. Colton is probably the smoothest one. I also like the Blake one. Those are just really good ones. It's stupid to say, but the chicken suit thing was admirable. It's tough to pull that off, but she seemed to really enjoy it. It is goofy and hokey, but he had some funny little lines. He played it up well, and turns out he's a pretty interesting guy all around. So I eventually really like appreciated that one.
And for you, your least favorite?
Joe was pretty rough. The fact that he basically said nothing, and then he just turned away, and he was nothing going on for him. I also didn't like Garrett's because I'm like, dude, you're going to say basically, I'm ready to have kids with you right now kind of thing, right up the first time you meet him. A little aggressive. I get it was kind of jokey and funny, but I'm like, that's a lot to dump on somebody. Like, basically, we're going to have kids right away.
You didn't say that though, right? It was more like,
dude, he had a baby carrier.
This is what our future could look like together.
He had baby seats in there and all kinds of like kids. It was like more than just a minivan. I mean, like, it says a lot.
Probably the producer's van.
Oh, I mean, probably. Also, the hearse, not exactly awesome. Yeah.
So which one are we going with out of those?
Oh, I mean, but I have to pick one as my least favorite.
I went one on the. You don't have to.
I think Joe. Joe was probably a simple one, but it was also like, oh God, come on, man.
Yeah. So we talked about a little earlier that the cardboard cutout of Ari wasn't a fan of Mike, but my least favorite was short pants, black patent sneakers, Camille, the social media participant who wants to meet her in the middle. She obliges, and then he backpedals and says, "Nah, how about 60-40 on my side."
Yeah.
No way, Jose.
Yep. It's pretty bad.
Looking forward to a good season on The Bachelorette. Before we go, want to check out our scores over on fantasyforreality.com. That's fantasy, the numeral for reality. Our good friend Matt Gray, all of his fantasy games over there. A lot of options, different ways to cut it up and play. Will and I are playing in two different style leagues, but in our league here for After Reality, Will's out to an early lead, small margin, but he did take a big hit. Lost six guys to start the week. I lost one with Grant.
It wouldn't be a Fantasy for Reality contest if I didn't lose half my team in the first week or two.
It's tradition.
As is tradition, just like the Masters.
A tradition unlike any other. But you did have the top scorer of the week. That was Hairline Chris.
Yep, Chris R., the shit talker.
And then Garrett, who with his first impression rose, was the only other to hit triple digits for the week. So good stuff, Will. Before we go, remind everybody where they can find us online. Of course, they can also find our other shows on our same feed. We'll be talking Challenge and your Bravo favorites this week as well. But where can they find us on the interwebs?
Find us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV Podcast page on Facebook, and find us on our Instagram account at After Reality Podcast. You can find me, as usual, at iFellOver45.
Find me at Spencer Kitley. That's all one word. Until next week, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.